Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to come here to gather in your name. Believe, O God, that you are here to wrap things up, to get us ready for going home. And Father, we just ask that you would help us, O God, as we stand here, Lord, to present your word to the people, that you would help us, O God, to have the energy and the strength to do so. And we just commit, Lord, this service unto thee. And help us, O God, to understand better as we leave this day, vindication. We know, Father, vindication is something that we all pretty much have a handle on, but, Father, we know that we can never talk about it enough. So help us, O God, to understand these things. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Just keep me in prayer, if you would, for clear-headedness. This morning I've been battling a fever, which is yesterday afternoon, and it's been, I'm kind of a little bit wobbly up here this morning. So anyway, this morning we're going to look at paragraph 92 of Brother Branham's sermon, The Unveiling of God, and maybe I can make that bigger for you, where he said, God hid behind the veil, Moses veiled his face. Moses was the living word veiled then. The people saw that pillar of fire, and they said, now we're satisfied, and see, and let Moses speak. See, don't let God speak, lest we die. Moses walked right into that pillar of fire, see. And said, now, he said, now I won't speak to them no more like this. I'll give them a prophet. See, that's the way he always did it. See, said, now, let them, but this prophet has to have his word. See, that's the key right there. This prophet has to have his word. He's if he's veiled with a tradition, God never sent him. If he's veiled with the word, God will vindicate it. God interprets his own word. Moses spoke to them. God interpreted them. Amen. Moses said, the Lord said so, and the Lord did just what he said. Not just what Moses said, just what he said. That made it right. So what we're looking at, this paragraph is actually a beautiful paragraph, because Brother Branham really sums up vindication in this paragraph alone. You see, it's not the man himself is vindicated. It's God's word is vindicated. God vindicates his own word. So God tells the man what to say, and the man says what God said. Now, if the man doesn't say what God said, God's not going to vindicate it. All right? So that's what Brother Ram's saying. He says, but this prophet has to have his word, God's word. And if he's veiled with a tradition, God never sent him. If he's veiled with the word, God will vindicate the word. God interprets his own word. So that is why I've been saying for many years, and Brother Bell before that, that vindication is not manifestation. Those are two different words, and they mean two different things. Therefore, there's only one scriptural evidence of vindication, and that we find in Deuteronomy chapter 13 and chapter 18. Scriptural vindication is when a man comes along with thus saith the Lord, and God backs up what he said by bringing it to pass. That's it. Now, you may hear a lot of quotes where Brother Branham says, you know, God came down and vindicated, you know, with that light. Or God came down and vindicated this, or God manifested this, and we see the vindication of it. Be very careful. He's not talking about God. The thing is a vindication. He's talking about God's word. Is God vindicates his word. All right? That pillar of fire picture scene, that vindicating the word that the prophet brought. Because it's not the prophet's words. It's God's words. All right? So it's not... it's not a light over your head. That's not vindication. You know, we got a lot of guys out there right now, especially in Africa. They've got pictures of themselves. One guy has about five or six pictures where he's got flashbulb lights, you know, or what do they call those things, Peter? You're a photographer, where you get a light flare, right? It's a flare. They get flares, this and that. In fact, one guy stood in front of that picture, only a bigger picture, is one that's very big, and it's all black around Brother Branham. Doesn't have the matting like we have here. bigger picture. He stood in front of that, got his head just so that then he had the guy take the picture so you could see a pillar of fire over his head. I'd be very careful. I mean, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. Yeah. All right, trying to do that. Now, that's why I say it's not a manifestation. It's vindication is truly God vindicating His word. Period. Even three rainbows appearing over you while you're preaching—that's not vindication. It's not a lick of fire appearing over your head, as some people seem to think either. You know, like, well, Brother Val was vindicated because there was a lick of fire over his head. That's not vindication. Don't even go there. It's not a lick of fire appearing over your head, as some people think, and I don't care if a vindicated prophet saw that lick of fire, it's still not vindication. Because Brother Val didn't come with thus saith the Lord. So Brother Val is not vindicated. Brian Kosorik is not vindicated. William Branham alone was vindicated because William Branham came with thus saith the Lord. And then God backed up his thus saith the Lord. Okay? So it's not a lick of fire appearing over your head, as some people think. And it's not three horizontal rainbows over your mean. There's only one form of scriptural vindication, and that is when a man speaks in the name of the Lord and God makes sure that that thing comes to pass. That's it, because God told him to say it. If God didn't tell him to say it, and he says it, and he said, puts thus saith the Lord to it, it ain't going to happen. It just isn't going to happen. It comes to pass exactly what was said. Too many people look at the picture of William Branham with the light over his head and they say, that's vindication. No, it's not. No, it's not. That's just the light striking the lens. Scripture vindication is when God speaks mouth to mouth with the prophet and the things that he said in the name of the Lord comes to pass. Understanding vindication is perhaps one of the most important things that we can do as a believer. And I know you all understand these things, so this is kind of a review, what I really want to do with this is to show that too many people look at, well, Brother Val had a light over, lit the fire over his head. There Brother Val was vindicated. Brother Val, tell you, he was no more vindicated than nothing. All right? I mean, he say so himself. But people try to say that. They try to make him vindicated when he's not vindicated. He was a teacher. Brother Branham said a teacher could take the word to a depth that a pastor or evangelist could never do. That's it. Simple, that's it. But he wasn't vindicated. Neither is Joe Coleman vindicated or any of these other preachers vindicated. Nobody. In this hour, God sends one to an hour, and that's it. Joe Branham is not vindicated. Okay, he's not a vindicated prophet. All right? So understanding vindication is perhaps one of the most important things we can do as a believer in God and in His Word. It seems today among Christians, in Christian world, that we're living in these days, these days of judges, where every man did what he thought was right in his own eyes, and why this is a predominant attitude amongst the nations today. People, because the people have turned down a vindicated prophet of God. Now, forgive me, I'm struggling this morning. My mind is in a whirl, so I'm going to try to get through this, all right? But it does not matter whether they are Catholic, Lutheran, Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, or Pentecostal. It does not matter whether they claim to be followers of the prophet of the day. The proof of their belief is in their understanding of vindication. So, then what is vindication and why is it so important? Well, from sign of his coming, Brother Ram said, but to the believer, it's a vindication of the truth of God's word that speaks of the coming sign. Amen. It vindicates God's word to be the truth. That's to the believer. Amen. The unbeliever, he's worried, dismayed, he's discouraged. Oh, such an outfit, he will say, you don't mean you belong to such a thing as that? See, he's just discouraged with it. But to the believer, it's honey in the rock, it's a vindication. Now, Brother Ram used the term vindication to explain God has a one-man message, and he deals with one man only. But men do not like this, for they seem to want to have their own say as to how God is going to do things. From who do you say this is? Brother Rabbi said, the one-man message, they didn't want it. No, they didn't want it. And God never did deal with but with one person at a time. It's always one-man message. When did ever he deal with the people outside of just one person? It's an individual. It ain't a group. Now, I've seen websites out there talking about Brother Vail is the vindicated teaching ministry of this hour. All right? He's not the vindicated teaching ministry of this hour. The Holy Ghost taught the message through a vindicated prophet. All right? See, people, you know, I'm just glad that he's gone because he would be rolling over in his grave right now. And you notice they waited till he's gone before they started this stuff. Mm-hmm. For who do you say this is? He said that one-man message, they didn't want it. No, they didn't want it. And God never did deal with one person at a time. It's always a one-man message. When did ever he deal with it outside of just one person? It's an individual. It ain't a group. It ain't a prophet and then a teacher. It's a prophet. All right. Now, vindication is a real issue concerning our faith. Not so much that it was God who backed up William Branham's message, for all Pentecostal people believe that God works out of the heavens and does fantastic things. They'll even go as far as to say God came down to do certain things, but the understanding of this vindication comes from the form of God's personal presence with his prophet, and that his personal presence was referred to by Brother Branham himself as the appearing of Christ, and that has become the central doctrinal debate within the so-called message clergy, because it comes into direct conflict with their understanding of the second coming of Christ as they have always perceived it. And this is due to the fact that they do not understand Godhead correctly. You know, we get people who think that they understand the Greek. There was a minister over in Arizona, and you know, he apparently was a Greek scholar. You know, he thought so. And he even told people that, you know, he would consult Brother Branham on Greek words and stuff like that, which I kind of doubt it. But not to call the man a liar, I'd say maybe one time, you know, he might have had a conversation with Brother Branham and brought up a Greek word or something. So I guess that qualifies in his idea. But when Brother Vail started teaching on the parousia, showing the word parousia and actually just simply means presence, this guy just fought him hard and just fought him. Said, no, that's not what it is. Because this man didn't have an understanding of appearing before the coming, which tells me he wasn't a Greek scholar. Now, he might have been born in Greece, and there's a lot of people that speak the Greek language, but they have no clue to the doctrine. You see? Now, close study of this principle of vindication will help us to understand better that when it comes to the program of God, we have absolutely no say as to what will happen. All God requires for you and me is to get ourselves out of the way and allow God to work through chosen channel, which according to Amos 3 and 7 is always a prophet. See, it's not how well you know the Greek. You know, I bring up Greek words once in a while, but it's not how much you know the Greek. It's the doctrine. If the Greek word ties with the doctrine, we use it. If it doesn't, we don't. You know, they fussed about the Greek for thousands of years. Oh, we're just a diphthong, according to the Church Age book. It's not about Greek. It's not about Kentucky English. It's not about American English or English English. It's about God's Word. And God backing up His own Word. In Amos 3 and 6 we read, shall the trumpet be blown in the city and the people not be afraid? Shall there be evil in the city and the Lord hath not done it? Surely the Lord God will do nothing, but He revealeth His secret unto His servants the prophets. The lion hath roared, who will not fear? The Lord hath spoken, who can but prophesy? And when God says, I will speak mouth to mouth, I will put my words in his mouth. How can you then not say what he said if he's the one doing it? Remember, it's God working in you both to will and to do. So we see the same principle holds for a prophet. Again, we find in the book of Deuteronomy, God's law concerning how he will deal with his people. And since he is the same and changes not, then we cannot say that prophets are relegated to the Old Testament only, for there are references to prophets in the New Testament as well. In Deuteronomy 18 and 15 we read, The Lord thy God shall raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee, of thy brethren like unto me. Unto him ye shall hearken, according to all that thou desirest of the Lord thy God in Horeb in the day of the assembly, saying, let me not hear again the voice of the Lord my God, neither let me see this great fire any more, that I die not. And the Lord said unto me, they have well spoken that which they have spoken. I will raise them up a prophet from among their people, or among their brethren, like unto thee, and I will put my words in his mouth. Notice, I will put my words in his mouth. And he shall speak unto them all that I shall command him. And it shall come to pass that whosoever will not hearken unto my words, which he shall speak in my name, I will require of him. But the prophet which shall presume to speak a word in my name, which I have not commanded him to speak, or that shall speak in the name of other gods, even that prophet shall die. And if thou say in thine heart, how shall we know the word which the Lord hath not spoken? When a prophet speaketh in the name of the Lord, if the thing follow not, nor come to pass, that is the thing which the Lord hath not spoken, but the prophet hath spoken it presumptuously, thou shalt not be afraid of him. Even Balaam, if you read in the book of Numbers and you follow through with Balaam, Balaam would tell Balak, he said, I can't say what I want to say. So the Lord told me exactly what to say, and I've got to say exactly what he said. And yet he was a false prophet, but he was a true prophet. He was a genuine prophet, but he was false because he was going to sell his gift for money. All right. Now God set forth an order that has strict consequences for those that will not adhere to it. He said, I will require it from you. You will pay for your unbelief. Notice the question comes forth from God's own mouth. He said, how will you know what is right and what is not right? And then he tells us, the one that is not right will not be vindicated. I will not bring his words to pass because they are not my words. And we know God is very protective of his own words. We see in Isaiah 55 and 10, for as the rain cometh down and snow from heaven, returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that is, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the things whereto I sent it. So God says, anything I send, it's going to do exactly what I send it for. So it all comes back to speaking in the name of the Lord, because after all, thus saith the Lord is what the Lord has said thus. And if God did not send it, it matters not what kind of manifestations you see. Vindication is based on thus saith the Lord. God backing up what he said, not what you might assume what he once said. People go by impressions all the time. Well, the Lord spoke to me, and the Lord showed me, and this and that. Don't do that. Don't do that. You can say, I believe the Holy Spirit is directing me. I believe it. And I'm hoping that I'm believing the right thing. Now, John 10:23, and Jesus walked into the temple in Solomon's porch, and then came the Jews round about him, and said unto him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. And Jesus answering them said, I told you, and you believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. Note, in my Father's name, thus saith the Lord. Problem is, people don't understand that because Jesus came from Jesus. In other words, you know, God's name is Jesus as well. All right. Now notice, not the works that I do, but the works I do in my Father's name. In other words, the works that I do that the Lord has told me thus to say. But ye believe not, because you are not of my sheep. As I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish. Neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them to me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. Then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them and said, many good works have I shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? And the Jews answering him said, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, and because thou, being a man, makest thyself God. Now Jesus didn't make himself God. He said, I and my Father are one. God is a word. Jesus manifested God's word. That makes him one. Now, these men had no clue about vindication. He spoke in the name of the Lord. The thing came to pass. He said, for which of those works do you stone me? Oh, we don't stone you for the works, but for what you're saying. It's like a man in Middletown. He said, well, you know, when Brother Branham comes to the pulpit, he said, you know, we can believe, you know, the discernment, it's never missed. Discernment, you know, it's never missed. But, you know, he's kind of off in his doctrine. Brother Branham said, now, if the word of the Lord comes to the prophet, then don't you think the prophet would have the correct understanding of the word? But these men had no clue about vindication. Jesus told them, everything I do, my Father commanded me, what to say and what to do, that's vindication. That is, thus saith the Lord. Jesus answering them said, is it not written in your law, I have said you are gods? If you call them gods, unto whom the word of the Lord came, and the scripture cannot be broken, say ye of him whom the Father has sanctified and sent into the world, thou blasphemest, because I said I am the Son of God. If I do not the works of my Father, if I do not do what my Father commanded me to do, which is thus saith the Lord, believe me not. So even here we see that it's all about doing and saying what God told him to do and to say. It's all about following, thus saith the Lord. It's not about, you know, well, today I feel like preaching whatever I want to preach, and so, but I'm vindicated. Hogwash. Doesn't work that way. I don't care how many manifestations take place. That's not vindication. Vindication is thus saith the Lord, and then God makes sure it comes to pass. But if I do, though you believe not me, believe the works, that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to take him, but he escaped out of their hand. Now proof of his resurrection. He said, there he stood and made himself known. He said, if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. They testify that the Father sent me. He said, and my education, in other words, like this. If my education doesn't satisfy your longings, if my degree, which I have none, but my degree, my diploma is not from your seminaries. My diploma is the works that I do, that the Father sent me. They are my diploma. That's the best diploma I know of. God, give us more of these diplomas. The works that I do are a vindication that the Father sent me. If that isn't sufficient, believe them then instead of me. You know, it's like these people say, well, Brother Branham, you know, Brother Branham called Brother Vail Dr. Vail. And so Brother Branham gave Brother Vail the term of Dr. Vail. And so, therefore, you know, Brother Vail, only because he only had a post-high school education, they say, well, that was robbing from a person who's worked hard for their doctorate. Now, let me tell you something. I spent 10 years at the university, and I don't care how many PhDs and LLDs you've got behind you, it doesn't make you smart. But 80% of those professors are as dumb as bricks. When God, as his vindicated prophet, say, okay, you're actually a doctor, because you know. I would put Brother Vail up against any man with a PhD or LLD in a debate over this word. They have no clue. They spend all this time getting their things from man, but they have nothing from God. When Jesus Christ is saying yesterday, today, forever, he said, but Jesus come not by preaching so forceful as John, but there were signs and wonders accompanying him. He said, if you can't believe me, believe the works that I do. If you can't believe me, believe that the vindication that the Father has given of me, for the works that I do, the same testify that the Father sent me. What a statement. Now think of it. The works that I do testify that the Father has sent me. Man can make any kind of statement, but if God don't back up that statement, you've got a right to say it's wrong. But when God comes around and confirms that statement to be the truth, then it's sin to disbelieve it. For what is sin? Sin is one thing. It's unbelief. That's right. You couldn't say how much of that is right. You couldn't say how much of that is night. It's all night. And in the daytime, you couldn't say just this much is day. It's all day. Jesus said, he that believeth not is condemned already. Faith in God and unbelief, that's the two things. One is sin and the other is salvation. Okay. Notice in again, the statement, for the works that I do, the same testify that God sent me. Well, what works did he do? We're going to show you, Jesus said, I can't do nothing but what the Father commands me to say. That's thus saith the Lord. All right? John 5:19, then answered Jesus and said unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, the Son can do nothing of himself, but what he seeth the Father do. For what things soever he doeth, these doeth the Son likewise. For the Father loveth the Son, and showeth him all things that himself doeth, and he will show him greater works than these, that ye may marvel. Jesus didn't come up with any original plan. He didn't come up with any original thing that was outside of what God told him to do. From what here, so Elijah, Brother Branham said, now listen, brother, you might have a lot of noise, but I wonder how much spirit's behind it, is what I'm wondering. It isn't noise that makes spirit. I've seen people that could jump and run and shout and play bands and run up and down the platform and didn't have enough real true faith to stop a toothache. That's right. It's that still small voice of God that operates the power of God that makes things real and brings life to the church. That's what I'm speaking of. It ain't noise that counts. It's the vindication, the Spirit of God that makes a difference. It's been here each night performing signs and wonders and miracles amongst the people. It's true. I don't see how Pentecostal people who claim to have kissed the cup of the golden blessing of Jesus Christ can sit still hardly when the Holy Ghost is moving and such things. But it's because it ain't got a noise behind it. The noise went first. Then the still small voice come. We've had those times. It was all God's way. In other words, he said, look, I don't care how much you can work yourself up into something. If God's word's not behind it, forget it. From having conferences, it says, and while we have our heads bowed, is there sinners, any sinners here, would like to walk up here just a minute? Maybe this might not help, but I want you to be sure of this. I've told you the honest truth, so help me. God knows that. I want to be sure that there's not a sinner on the ground. Let me say this. Thus saith the Holy Spirit, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom. And if you're here tonight, and thus saith the Spirit of God, that's within me. I tell the truth, I lie not. The very thing that vindicates it is a returning of that prophetic spirit that discerns the thoughts, tells you what you've done, what you will do, what will happen to you, every predicament, every time, perfectly, for year after year. That's the vindication that I've told you the truth. Now, Brother Branham had over 10,000 times, thus saith the Lord. All right? 10,000 times, thus saith the Lord. People come through, tell exactly what's wrong with them, thus saith the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, thus saith the Lord. And these jokers out there, Pentecostals usually, they will say, thus saith the Lord, and be totally off the word. You know, the Bible says that the guy that does that, he should die. They're spiritually dead. From be not afraid, he says, you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, have faith in God. It's all over, brother. But Jesus, but believe it now. We are strangers to one another now. That ought to settle it for the whole group of you. Does that confirm that I'm preaching the truth? How would God tell me... How would God let me tell something wrong and stand up with my very message? These things are only to indicate a divine vindication that my theology is right. That's exactly right. The word of the Lord comes to the prophet. You believe that with all your heart? I don't know you. Jesus knows you. You're a very fine person. You're not here for yourself. You're here for someone else. It's your daughter. You believe God can tell me what her trouble is? It's in her spine. That's true. If that's right, raise up your hand. Now, you believe with all your heart. Blind Bartimaeus, and in praying for the sick tonight, as we pray for the sick, the Lord may come to us and give the visions. And if he does, remember the vision does not heal people. The vision is only a vindication that the word is right. How many knows that the word prophet means? Sure you do. A prophet means a one that foretells or foretells. And it is a divine sign that God, from God, that this person that speaks has the right interpretation of the divine word, because the word of the Lord came unto the prophets, and the prophet foretold and done those signs, which is a vindication that he had the interpretation of the divine word. In John 5:30 we read, and I can in my own self do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is just, because I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which has sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another that bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. In other words, God witnesses to him by bringing to pass what he says. Now, this lets us know that there will be a showdown. God speaks of this in Deuteronomy chapter 13. He says, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams, and giveth thee a sign or wonder, and the sign or wonder comes to pass, whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, thou shalt not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. Ye shall walk after the Lord your God, and fear him, and keep his commandments, and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him, and cleave unto him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death, because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you up out of the land of Egypt, and redeemed you out of the house of bondage, to thrust thee out of the way which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk in. So shalt thou put the evil away from the midst of thee. Now, several other scriptures here where Jesus is actually saying the same thing as what Moses says here in Deuteronomy. John 14:31, but that the world may know that I love the Father, and as the Father gave me commandment, even so I do. Arise, let us go forth. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. John 12:49, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he hath given me a commandment, what I should say and what I shall speak. John 12:50, and I know that this commandment is life everlasting, whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father hath said unto me, so I speak. And Hebrews 2:1, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him, God also bearing them witness, both with signs and wonders, and with divers miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to his will. Vindication is all about God bearing witness to his own word, which he has spoken. From sign of his coming, Brother Branham said, a vindication of God's word being true, God bears record of his word by his signs. I think I'm going to have to stop. So, God bless you all.
This morning, Brian isn't feeling very well this morning. He's been fighting a little bit of a stomach bug, so just remember him in prayer. If you will, we'll go ahead and say a prayer for him as we get ready to close service this morning. Heavenly Father, Lord, we humbly come before you this morning. Father, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would touch Brother Brian's body this morning. Father, Lord, as he has tried to come up here and just speak your word to us this morning, Father, Lord, we pray that you would just touch him now, Father, may bring him fully whole. Lord, we know that Satan is roaring to and fro about the world, Lord, and even amongst the believers, Father, trying to cause destruction, Lord, and Lord, to upend, Lord, the faith, Lord, that we have in you, Father. So, Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would touch Brother Brian this morning, Father. May you bless what word we've heard from you this morning, Lord. May it sink deep in our hearts, Lord, and we do love you. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's just sing that 491, if you know that one there, for we have come into his house to magnify his name just before we close. We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship him. We have come into his house to magnify his name and worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself, concentrate on him and worship him. So forget about yourself and concentrate on him and worship Christ the Lord. Jesus Christ our Lord. Let us lift up holy hands to magnify his name and worship him. Let us lift up holy hands to magnify his name and let us lift up holy hands to magnify his name and worship Christ the Lord. Oh, worship him, Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen. God bless you now. Just remember Brother Brian in prayer. And we'll go ahead and close our service this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we do appreciate your word to us this morning, Father, Lord. And even though, Lord, we know that Satan is trying to interrupt this morning, Lord, the bringing of your word, Father, Lord, we know that that doesn't stand in the way, Lord, of you vindicating your word to us, Father, in this hour that we live in. Lord, we do appreciate the prophet, Lord, that you did send to us, Father, and the message that was stored on tape that we could know exactly to the word, to the dot, Lord, that what you had said. And Lord, we love to see your word come to pass, Father, Lord, as we see the time coming, Lord, and approaching, Lord, as we draw close to the coming, Father. Lord, help us to be ready, Father, to serve you only. Lord, to put you first in everything that we do and say in our lives this morning, Father. So, Lord, we do appreciate your word to us this morning. Lord, we pray that you would go with us, Lord, as we depart this building. Lord, may your spirit be among us, Father. May our word be among you and the things that you've said to us, Father. And, Lord, help us to recognize our vision, Lord, and what your vision and your word is, Father, that we could step into it, Father. We appreciate your word to us this morning. Be with Brother Brian once again, Father. Lord, may you just touch his body this morning, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You can be dismissed.